Welcome to your deep dive today. We are going to be cracking open a legal case.
Oh, very nice.
Bexiga v. Javier Manufacturing Corp. from 1972.
Okay.
You flagged an interest in product liability.
Yeah.
And this case, decided by the New Jersey Supreme Court,
Right.
is a landmark.
It is.
So have you ever wondered who's really responsible when a product's design causes an injury?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
That's exactly what Bexiga grapples with.
That's what makes this case so fascinating, is that it really shifted the legal landscape. You know, it forced a reckoning with manufacturer responsibility, and it had a ripple effect across all kinds of
Yeah,
industries.
let's get into the specifics of Bexiga.
Okay.
Picture this: an 18-year-old guy,
Okay.
John Bexiga Jr., on his very first day at a new job,
Wow.
operating a massive 10-ton punch press,
Oh my gosh.
a beast of a machine.
Yeah.
And this was back in 61,
Right.
when safety features weren't exactly standard.
Not at all.
No, two-hand controls, just a basic flywheel guard.
Yeah.
Tragically, Bexiga's hand was crushed.
And this is where the legal battle begins.
Oh.
Bexiga sued Javier, the maker of the punch press,
Okay.
claiming negligence and what we call strain liability, essentially arguing that the machine was inherently dangerous because of its design.
Right.
Now, you might think this is an open and shut case,
Yeah, with
but the
that's.
lower courts actually dismissed it initially.
Wait, what? Why would they dismiss it? It seems pretty clear that the machine lacked basic safety features.
Well, their reasoning was that back then it wasn't common practice for manufacturers to install those safety devices on punch presses. Buyers were expected to add them later.
Oh.
So the lower courts basically said, hey, everyone else was doing it this way, so Javier is not at fault.
So the argument was, it's not our fault if the industry standard is to prioritize cost cutting over safety.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a bit unsettling.
Yeah, it is a little unsettling.
Thank goodness the Supreme Court decided to take a closer look.
Absolutely. They saw this case as an opportunity to address some really fundamental questions about manufacturer responsibility. They specifically wanted to examine three things.
Okay.
First, did Javier have a legal duty to install those safety devices, even if it wasn't the norm at the time?
Right.
Second, was the punch press actually defectively designed without those safeguards?
Right.
And finally, could Bexiga's own actions, what we call contributory negligence, be a valid defense for Javier?
Okay, it sounds like they were getting to the heart of some very complex legal issues.
They
What
were.
did they decide?
Well, the Supreme Court's decision was a game changer.
Okay.
They essentially said, hold on, public safety trumps industry norms.
Wow.
They rejected the lower court's reasoning, sending a clear message that manufacturers can't just hide behind what everyone else is doing.
Right.
They have a responsibility to ensure that their products are reasonably safe when used as intended.
Okay, so they set a higher bar for manufacturers.
Yeah, they did.
But how do they address those three specific questions that they raise?
Let's break it down.
Okay.
On the first question, whether Javier had a duty to install safety devices,
Right.
the Supreme Court said yes, absolutely.
Okay.
They found that manufacturers do have a duty to make sure that their products aren't unreasonably dangerous when used normally.
Okay.
And this includes adding safety devices,
Okay.
even if it's not standard practice.
That's a pretty significant shift in thinking, isn't it?
It is, and it's had a major impact on product liability law ever since.
Right.
Moving on to the second question,
Okay.
whether the punch press was defectively designed,
Yeah.
the court also sided with Bexiga. They determined it was totally possible for Javier to include a two-hand safety button without messing up the machine's functionality.
Okay.
So yes, the press was defectively designed because it lacked this crucial safety feature.
So they weren't just saying safety is important in some vague sense.
No.
They're getting into the nitty-gritty of what Javier could and should have done differently.
Right.
That's a powerful precedent.
It is.
Okay, so what about that third question? Did the court let Javier off the hook because of Bexiga's own actions?
This is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
They said that because Bexiga's injury was the exact kind of harm those missing safety features were supposed to prevent,
Right.
contributory negligence wasn't a valid defense in this case.
That makes sense if the whole point of a safety device is to prevent a specific type of injury. You
Exactly.
can't blame the victim for getting hurt by the very thing that the missing safety feature should have protected them from.
Right. It all comes down to foreseeability.
Okay.
If a manufacturer can reasonably foresee a certain type of harm,
Yeah.
they have a duty to take steps to prevent it.
So we've covered the background of the
We
case
have.
and the three key questions the Supreme Court tackled.
Yes.
But what does this all mean for the average person? Why should we care about a legal case from decades ago?
That's a great question, and it's where we'll pick up in part two of your deep dive.
Okay, stay tuned to find out how Bexiga continues to have a major impact today, even beyond the world of punch presses.
Welcome back. We're picking up our exploration of Bexiga v. Javier Manufacturing Corp. and how it continues to resonate in the legal world, even today, as we were discussing the Supreme Court's decision, had a ripple effect, impacting everything from power tools to medical devices to even self-driving cars.
So let's connect the dots for our listener. How did Bexiga actually change the legal landscape?
Well, it really boils down to two major impacts.
Okay.
First, it significantly expanded what we call strict liability for manufacturers.
Okay.
Before Bexiga, companies could often argue that they weren't responsible if someone misused their product or modified it in a way that made it unsafe.
So they could essentially pass the buck,
right,
claiming it was the user's fault for not using the product correctly.
Exactly. But Bexiga changed the game.
Okay.
The court essentially said that manufacturers can't just shrug off their responsibility like that.
Right.
They have a duty to design and build products that are reasonably safe for their intended use period.
So they have to anticipate potential misuse and build in safeguards to protect users.
That's the idea.
Okay.
The focus shifted from, did the user mess up, to, could the manufacturer have reasonably foreseen this type of harm and prevented it?
That makes sense. It puts the onus on the people who are creating the product in the first place.
Right.
Rather than blaming the victim after an accident happens.
Exactly. And the second major impact of Bexiga was how it limited the use of what we call contributory negligence as a defense.
Refresh my memory on that legal term.
Sure. Contributory negligence basically means that the injured person was partially or even mostly to blame for their own injuries.
Okay.
Because they acted carelessly or didn't use the product as instructed.
Ah, I see. So even if a product was dangerous,
yeah,
the manufacturer could try to avoid responsibility by saying, well, the user should have known better.
That's the gist of it. But Bexiga made it much harder to use that defense.
Okay.
Especially in cases where the injury was directly related to the missing safety features.
Right.
Remember, the court essentially said you can't blame someone for getting hurt by a hazard that should have been prevented in the first place.
It sounds like Bexiga really tipped the scales in favor of consumer safety, but help me understand how this applies to the products we use today.
Let's imagine for a moment.
Okay.
A world where Bexiga never happened.
Okay.
Think about self-driving cars.
Right.
Could you imagine a company trying to sell a self-driving car without any collision avoidance systems?
That's a terrifying thought.
Exactly. It would be unthinkable today.
Yeah.
Largely because of precedents like Bexiga.
Right.
If such a car were to cause an accident,
yeah,
the manufacturer would almost certainly be held liable.
Okay.
Even if the driver also made some mistakes.
Right.
Why? Because the manufacturer had a responsibility to include those safety features from the start.
So Bexiga's impact reaches far beyond just punch presses.
It does.
It's fundamentally shaped how we approach safety in all sorts of products,
yeah,
from cars to medical devices to even software.
Absolutely. The core principle that manufacturers have a fundamental duty to anticipate and mitigate foreseeable risks is as relevant as ever.
Yeah.
Think about it. When was the last time you bought a new gadget and didn't immediately look for safety features,
right,
or read the warnings?
Yeah.
We've become much more savvy consumers.
That's true.
And that's partly thanks to cases like Bexiga.
You're right. We don't just blindly trust that a product is safe anymore.
Right.
We look for safety ratings, we read reviews,
yep,
and we compare different brands based on their safety records.
Exactly. And that consumer pressure, in turn,
yeah,
pushes manufacturers to prioritize safety even more.
Okay.
It's a virtuous cycle,
right,
driven by legal precedent and evolving consumer awareness.
It's like Bexiga planted a seed, and it's grown into this widespread understanding that product safety isn't just a nice to have.
Right.
It's a fundamental. Right?
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just limited to physical products.
Oh, okay.
Think about the digital world.
Okay.
We're now having serious conversations about data privacy,
right,
online safety for children, and the ethical implications of AI.
Yeah.
Those conversations are happening in part because of the groundwork laid by cases like Bexiga.
Wow, that's amazing to consider a case about a punch press from the 1960s is still shaping how we think about safety and responsibility in the 21st century.
It truly is a testament to the lasting impact of landmark legal decisions. But it also raises some interesting questions.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What kind of questions?
Well, we've talked a lot about the positive impacts of Bexiga.
Right.
But does putting all this responsibility on manufacturers come with any downsides?
Hmm.
Could it potentially stifle innovation?
Okay.
Or is it a necessary balance to strike to protect consumers?
Okay.
Let's explore those questions as we continue our deep dive.
Welcome back. We've been talking about Bexiga v. Javier Manufacturing Corp. and its impact on product liability.
Right.
And we left off with a question.
Yeah.
Does holding manufacturers to such a high standard of safety have any drawbacks? Could it hinder progress?
It's a valid concern.
Hmm.
Some argue that too much emphasis on safety could make companies overly cautious,
right,
discouraging them from taking risks,
yeah,
or developing cutting-edge products that push boundaries.
So it's like a balancing act between protecting consumers and fostering innovation.
Exactly.
If the legal and financial stakes are too high,
yeah.
some companies might shy away from developing potentially groundbreaking products,
right.
even if those innovations could really benefit society.
Right.
Is that what you're getting at?
Precisely. Innovation often involves venturing into uncharted territory.
Okay.
And that inherently comes with some level of risk.
Yeah.
If the fear of lawsuits becomes too overwhelming, mm-hmm. it could create a chilling effect on creativity
right.
and slow down technological advancement.
Yeah, imagine if the Wright brothers were so worried about liability that they'd never dared to take flight.
Exactly.
Okay, I see the potential downside, but let's flip the coin.
Okay.
What about the benefits of holding manufacturers accountable for safety?
Right.
We've already touched on some of them.
Yeah.
But it's worth reiterating why this matters so much.
Absolutely. The most obvious benefit is, of course, increased safety for consumers.
Right.
When manufacturers are legally obligated to prioritize safety in their designs,
yeah.
it leads to fewer accidents,
okay.
injuries, and even deaths.
Right.
This translates to a healthier society,
okay.
reduced healthcare costs,
mm.
and less pain and suffering overall.
It also creates a more level playing field for businesses.
Right, definitely.
It prevents companies from cutting corners on safety to gain a competitive edge or boost their profits.
Right.
If everyone is held to the same high standard,
yeah.
it incentivizes responsible behavior.
It does.
And fosters a culture of safety across industries.
Exactly. It shifts the focus from how can we get away with the bare minimum
right.
to how can we make our product as safe as possible.
Yeah.
That's a win for everyone.
So we've got this tension between innovation and safety.
We do.
It sounds like a complex issue with no easy answers. How do we strike the right balance?
That's the million-dollar question. It requires ongoing dialogue,
okay.
thoughtful regulation,
mm.
and a willingness to adapt as technology evolves.
Right.
We need legal frameworks that hold manufacturers accountable
yeah.
while also allowing space for experimentation and progress.
It's about finding that sweet spot where innovation can flourish without compromising the well-being of consumers.
Precisely. Ultimately, the goal is to create a world where products are not only innovative and useful,
yeah.
but also safe for everyone who uses them.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
From the specific facts of Bexiga to its broader implications.
Right.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I'd like to leave you with one final thought to ponder.
Okay.
We've seen how a legal case from over 50 years ago continues to influence our world today. It makes me wonder what products or technologies are being developed right now that will shape the legal landscape of the future.
That's a fascinating question to consider. We're living in an era of rapid technological advancement, from artificial intelligence to gene editing to space exploration.
Right.
Each of these fields brings with it a unique set of ethical and legal considerations.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how the courts grapple with these new frontiers
mm.
and what precedents will be set for generations to come.
It's a reminder that the law is a living, breathing entity, constantly evolving to keep pace with our ever-changing world.
Absolutely. And engaging in thoughtful conversations like this one is crucial to ensuring that the law continues to serve its purpose, to protect individuals, promote fairness, and create a more just and equitable society.
Well, thank you for joining me on this deep dive. I always enjoy our conversations, and I hope this has been a valuable and insightful experience for you.
The pleasure is all mine. Until next time.
And to all our listeners, keep those questions coming. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into a topic that's sure to pique your curiosity. CCAI.